Chapter 133. Waterspouts and Dark Currents. Hermione put the small golden cup down on the stone lab counter with the smallest metallic click. Harry put the basilisk fang down next to it. "Last time I did this," Sirius said, from where he was casting spells on the walls, "I almost brought the house down. Destructive was an understatement."
"When are you going to explain what we're doing?" asked Draco.
"I said I'd show you what we were doing if you were helpful," said Hermione.
"It's pretty self-explanatory once you see it," Harry said. "Who gets to do the honors?"
"Let me," said Hermione. "I haven't had a chance yet, and I'd rather leave the snake to Harry."
"Snake?" asked Sirius.
"Later,"
said Harry. "Go ahead, Hermione. Wands out, everyone." When Hermione stabbed the fang into the cup, the room went mad. Protego helped a little, but Sirius was the one of them who knew spells that kept the torrent of dark magic away from the three teenagers. When it was over, they had survived a waterspout and were all soaked to the bone and shell-shocked.
"What in the name of Merlin was that?" said Draco,
wet blonde hair plastered to his head, eyes wild.
"That was one part of Voldemort," said Harry. "We're killing him a bit at a time. Welcome to the secret."
"I don't suppose you know how many parts are out there," Sirius said tiredly, "because it could get pretty tiresome doing this over and over again." Harry and Hermione shared a wordless glance. "We have some idea," Harry said. "It's not going too badly, but we want to be sure he doesn't catch on too soon. Hermione, did you?"
"I asked Draco to transfigure replacements for the vault," Hermione confirmed. "That's how he argued himself into joining us here."
Harry glared tiredly at Draco, who folded his arms and looked cool and composed. The jerk.
"I still think Hogwarts should be the most logical place for him to hide things," Harry added. "But I searched that castle from top to bottom for a month and nothing."
"Did you check the room of hidden things?" asked Draco.
"The what?"
"The room of requirement has a version that's full of lost things," Draco said. "I spent most of last year there."
"Did you ever see a tiara?" Hermione asked urgently. "A silver and blue one."
"I don't know," Draco said. "You know, if you'd told me you were looking for something a week ago..."
"Shut up, Draco," Harry said. "We'll deal with it."
"How, exactly? They'll be guarding the castle more tightly than ever now."
Harry didn't know, and didn't like the idea of getting trapped there again.
"One's enough for today," Hermione said firmly. "Everyone downstairs for chocolate."
They all went downstairs for chocolate, to be joined by Draco's parents. Sirius distracted them from questions by talking loudly about his muggle girlfriend, and Harry loved Sirius a lot.
"So Gringotts went smoothly?" Harry asked.
Hermione and Draco glanced at each other.
"More or less," Draco said.
Harry gave the room a general glare.
"That didn't sound very convincing."
"We got back all right, Harry," said Hermione. "Isn't that what counts?"
"There may be a few people who are under the impression that you were at the bank today," Mrs. Malfoy told him. "Given the possibilities of Polyjuice, it seemed a shame not to sow confusion."
"They were confusing Harry!" Dinner was interesting. Creature appeared to have slaughtered a number of lambs for the purpose of bringing his very best culinary achievement to the table. There seemed to be some sort of extremely polite cold war going on between Draco and his parents. Sirius was reading at the table. Mr. Ollivander ate in the library. Hermione was quizzing Draco about classes, which did not seem to be relaxing either of them.
"So," Harry tried. "Talk to any of the goblins, Hermione?"
"I did, yes," she said with a small smile.
"I suppose next you'll want to arm the vermin," said Mr. Malfoy.
Actually, said Harry, we could, couldn't we? Mr. Ollivander wants to make wands, and goblins and house elves can use wands.
Oh, Harry, Hermione said, perking up. Do you think so?
Harry, Sirius said, I hate to agree with Lucius on anything. I really do hate it. Stop making me agree with him. But we'd lose a lot of moderate wizard support if we did anything like that. They'd think we were trying to bring back the Goblin Wars. It could very easily paint us as terrorists.
I don't see why we shouldn't, Harry said firmly.
If you've learned anything from this, Sirius said bitterly to his relatives,
it's to not give Harry bright ideas.
Sirius, Harry complained.
If moderate wizards would object to something that simple, maybe moderate wizards are wrong, Hermione said, and got up and left the table.
Harry decided he desperately needed dessert to deal with his life.
Mr. Potter, said Lucius Malfoy.
Harry looked up from his book.
Ned Stark really needed to consider listening at doors more often.
And Mr. Malfoy sat back down at the table. The firelight made the lines of his face darker and harder than they might otherwise seem.
Yes?
Harry didn't pull his wand. It seemed rude, and Mr. Malfoy didn't have one.
I should like to know your intentions towards my family.
Right. Well, what did Harry intend for Mr. Malfoy and his family? What did he want for Draco? What had Dumbledore offered once upon a time?
I'd like you all to go into hiding until the war is over, if that's all right with you. Stay out of things entirely. Under the circumstances, well, I don't trust you with a wand at my back, so I'd rather take you off the board, if we're talking about chess.
Being Ron's friend meant a lot of talking about chess. Draco thinks that you will involve him in your quest, at your right hand.
Harry considered this statement.
Do you want me to involve him in my quest at my right hand?
I have mixed feelings.
You mean you aren't sure whether or not it's a ticket for a messy death?
Mr. Malfoy smiled thinly.
Such a way with words you have, Mr. Potter.
I'll talk to Draco. Actually, I have a question for you. What was Riddle like before he died? Was he less,
If this had been Draco, that blank look in his eyes would be veiled rage.
The Dark Lord was less angry, Mr. Malfoy said in a distant, cold voice. He was more certain of his followers and his place in history. Many people betrayed him that he felt would hold true. He has ever taken things personally.
Well, that sort of confirmed the idea that Voldemort was erratic and murderous in part because of splitting his soul so much, though it didn't explain why chatting with Harry would help.
He was magnificent, Mr. Malfoy continued,
unaware of Harry's thoughts.
Perfect in his beliefs and with incredible clarity of purpose.
I like a little ambiguity in my allies, myself, Harry said, thinking about souls. People with real clarity of purpose seem to crush people without meaning to, seems to me.
War requires sacrifice.
He doesn't kill people because it's sacrifice, though, Harry pointed out. He kills people because it usually solves the problem sooner or later, after you kill enough people. You'd think he'd never heard of population problems. Which was channeling pure Hermione, of course. Harry was confused to find Mr. Malfoy smiling thinly.
And what would be your solution, Mr. Potter?
Kill him, Harry said promptly. Lock a lot of people up for a while, preferably without Dementors. Have someone take over the ministry until Draco and Hermione are old enough to run against each other for minister plausibly. Support whoever wins.
For minister, was it?
Draco doesn't have a very good impression of following people, Harry informed him. I don't think he'll like it long term.
Good night, Mr. Potter.
Talking to Slytherins always seemed to have a ton of undercurrents Harry didn't quite catch. Hopefully he hadn't let a shark slip through somehow during this one.